Welcome back to the Water Cooler, Sports Radio 1400, sportsradio1400.com, and iHeartRadio. Now, midway through the Water Cooler, we have reached that halfway point. Normally, last week anyway, we were on our way to baseball pregame, but not this week. We're back on a normal schedule this week, full one-hour shows through the end of the week, which is awesome because I can bring on more guests like Brian Carafu of CheeseheadTV.com. Brian, welcome back.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. You know, it's great to have you back and talking Packers, obviously, talking NFL draft and getting all set for that. It's you know, obviously an exciting week for a lot of football fans, you know, especially for the Packers, because this is where they do the bulk of their team building. This is where they get a lot of their players from, and this is kind of what shapes what they do, at least under Ted Thompson. That's how it's been. But before we get to that, I want to talk about a move that happened earlier today that I think caught some people by surprise, me included. Just the timing of it, not necessarily what actually happened, but the timing of it. Chad Clifton getting released today after failing a physical. I found that to be a bit surprising.
Yes, it caught a lot of people off guard. Like you said, the timing just days before the draft, the Packers cut Chad Clifton. And as you said as well, it probably isn't unexpected totally that it actually happened. But, you know, here the Packers are. They don't really have a set plan right now. What they're going to do with their offensive line as far as who's going to play left tackle. Will it be Marshall Newhouse, who played there a majority of last year when Clifton was out? Will it be Brian Bulaga, who they could switch over from right tackle? Or will it be last year's first-round draft choice, Derek Sherrod, who's coming off of injury? So a lot of options there that the Packers have going for them. And things they'll figure out during the offseason here, during OTAs, mini camp, training camp. And then on top of all that, the Packers cleared $5.7 million in salary cap space. So that was kind of significant from that standpoint, too.
Yeah, and that was kind of the big thing, because they weren't that far under the cap or maybe even slightly above it. They didn't have a lot of wiggle room when it came to that salary cap. So you're right, the $5 million is very significant in terms of that move. So and obviously with the draft coming up, you know, and what the Packers do is they get a lot of draft picks. So you're expecting to, you know, be signing anywhere between, obviously, you know, 6, 7, 8, maybe up to 10, 11, 12 players. So Packers certainly have the picks this year to accumulate a good chunk of players. Let's talk about the draft a little bit. You know, it's coming up this week, and for the Packers, again, as I mentioned, and as people pretty well know if you've been following the Packers, is that this is where they do a lot of you know, the depth building for the team. This is where they really build their team through. You look at their roster, and a lot of the team's biggest players, biggest stars, are guys they drafted. You know, Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, so guys they've drafted. You know, oddly enough, sometimes they'll actually go out and sign a free agent. That's the joke. They get Charles Woodson in, guys like that. But the draft is really where it's done. And if you're a Packers fan, this really is one of the most significant parts of the offseason, if not the most significant, is when it comes to the draft. It's hard to overhype it as a Packers fan because so much of what their team does comes from it.
Absolutely. As you said, the Packers, this is how they build their team, and they don't dip into free agency much. I mean, they did with Jeff Saturday this year. They don't trade a whole lot. I mean, no team in the NFL trades a ton. It probably happens a little bit more in a sport like baseball, perhaps, but still, the draft is where the Packers, you know, get a majority of their players. They like to use the term draft and develop. So draft guys, keep them on the team, keep them young, develop them, coach them up, and see how they can fit in down the road if they're not ready to play right away. And it's traditionally been a young team under head coach Mike McCarthy. You know, just like they did with Chad Clifton, they kind of part ways with some of the older players, and they've been doing that for a while now with Mark Tauscher before that, with Al Harris. I mean, I could go on and on about, you know, aging players they've parted ways with instead to keep the younger players and develop them.
Yeah, and at some points too, you look at some of the guys that they let go, and it seems like the Packers certainly have had a pretty good streak of you know, knowing, you know, what, you know, when a veteran's time is up with the team, because and again, it's kind of irrelevant in terms of what the Packers do, but the players haven't gone on to much success elsewhere for the most part. And what the Packers have done too, not only with just even the draft part process and in the players they pick up there, but even the undrafted guys that they spend a lot of time scouting. I mean, there's a lot of names being attached to the Packers, especially in the later rounds, that might or might not get picked, and you're going to see guys, even if they pick 11 guys on draft day, there's still going to be a few other guys that make camp, and you know, and they've been proven under Ted Thompson to have big impacts. You know, you think of, you know, Sam Shields in the Super Bowl year and the playoffs and everything. I mean, they've had undrafted guys step up and make big plays for him.
Yeah, you know, the NFL roster in the off season is 80 players. So when the draft ends, the Packers are going to sign about a dozen more guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for the large majority of them, they're going to end up getting cut at some point. But that it doesn't stop the Packers from trying. You know, they're going to try to find that one or two, you know, diamond in the rough, the hidden gem, who they hope will, you know, be able to play a role like Sam Shields did, or Frank Zombo. He started in the Super Bowl at outside linebacker for them. They cut the, you know, actually last year there was a couple undrafted guys. Brandon Sane, the running back from Ohio State. There's a couple more. I just can't remember them off the top of my head. But, yeah, like last year the Packers ended up keeping, like, four undrafted players, MD Jennings, the safety from Arkansas State. So, yeah, there's a history of players in Green Bay who go the undrafted route and end up making it.
You know, it's funny, too, how the Packers roster people don't really think of it like this, but it really does turn over quite a bit year to year. They have a whole new infusion, you know, up to a quarter of the roster, sometimes more, will change year to year. And it's funny because you look back on even the Super Bowl roster from a couple of years ago, and a lot of those guys aren't around anymore. It's pretty impressive how they've been able to, you know, that kind of turnover. You would think the conventional thinking would be, well, you know, they're not keeping their core, they're not blah, 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 but they've kept a pretty good core intact, but they've also been surrounding them with younger guys who can make plays, athletic guys that they've, as you've said, coached up and be in the right position to do things. And for the Packers, obviously it's working, and it works for other teams like Pittsburgh and a few others as well.
Yeah, I think what they do is it's a core, it's a small core, pardon me, but what they do is they identify the elite players, the Pro Bowl players, and they lock them up and sign them to extensions, guys like Aaron Rodgers, Greg Jennings, Clay Matthews, Charles Woodson, B.J. Raji. You know, that it's a small core, but, I mean, those are, you know, really good players who are among the best players in their position in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the philosophy the Packers kind of use towards team building.
Yeah, and it's, and obviously it's worked. I mean, you can't argue with the results for the most part. It's been a pretty good run, you know, the last few years. But, you know, looking towards the draft, people are obviously trying to figure out who the Packers will draft and what they're looking at in round one. Being in the position they are towards the end of round one, it's hard to project what will happen at that point because so much happens in front of it. And, you know, what the Packers have done, it's been fairly boring the last few years, even if they get linemen. As far as what the Packers are doing, I know that you participate in a lot of mock drafts. I know you follow the process very closely. What are the Packers looking to do with that first round pick?
You know, the Packers, hopefully, you know, coming from a fan standpoint, you know, you kind of think that they would go defense. The team was so poor last year on defense, giving up the most passing yards in NFL history. So, I mean, they could use help on the defensive line, linebackers, secondary, you name it. Pretty much you can draft from any position on defense and hit on a need there. So, you know, the Packers, I think, you know, if you just went and asked people, who do you hope that the Packers get? You know, you're going to come across names like Nick Perry, Whitney Merciless, Shay McClellan, Courtney Upshaw. They might all be gone by the time the Packers pick. You know, I think a lot of those elite outside linebackers are going to be gone. You know, kind of guys who I think might be available would be Kendall Reyes, a defensive lineman from Connecticut. And then there's a pair of defensive linemen that have kind of been on my radar. Jarrell Worthy, a defensive lineman from Michigan State. Devon Still from Penn State. Those are guys who I think will be still available at 28. Certainly no guarantee. You know, I can't look into a crystal ball and, you know, we can all make speculation. But, you know, I just think, you know, a lot of those linebacker guys, I think they're going to be off the board by the time the Packers pick.
That's what people are hoping for, too, but yeah, you're right. And the Packers' draft philosophy anyway has been, you know, regardless of what the team might or might not need, they're always seeming, you know, like a lot of teams, it's cliche at this point, but looking for that, quote, best player available, unquote. And I guess outside of maybe drafting a quarterback in the first round, they could probably pick from just about anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a need at the safety position in the secondary as well. So, you know, the status of Nick Collins is still up in the air, still hasn't been resolved. Will he play or won't he play? Of course, he suffered the serious neck injury. So, you know, late in the first round, you're looking at Mark Barron, a safety from Alabama, is a guy who's going to be drafted somewhere in the first round. Perhaps Harrison Smith, the safety from Notre Dame. So those are other names to keep an eye on at other positions the Packers have needs at.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what will happen, obviously, in the first round. We'll be on the air on Thursday waiting for the Packers to make that pick or, of course, trade out, which can happen. It happens in the NFL a lot. So we'll be on the air covering that this week. And I know that you guys at CheeseheadTV.com have got a pretty good list of draft coverage as well. I think you guys still have it. You have a draft guide up still, right?
Yes, draft guide at CheeseheadTV.com, 99 pages, advertising free, over 300 prospects ranked and analyzed, only $5.99. So can't miss it. Go to CheeseheadTV.com and check it out.
It's right at the top, I think, in the top right part of the page, so you can click
exactly
on it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's right. It's a great in-depth draft guide. I got the page through it. We get a lot of them obviously sent our way, but kind of like the way you guys do things. It's easy to figure out, and for me, you know, Mr. Talk Radio host guy, it's good when things are easy to figure out. So, good stuff to get through. Brian, as always, thank you for your time. Great to get an idea of what the Packers might be looking at. I think that if you're a fan of the Packers, you kind of know what they would be looking at, or at least you'd hope that they'd draft the way you'd want to. But as always with the Packers, they're paid to do what they do, and they seem to know better than some other teams. It'll be a fun draft night, to be sure, and I know that you guys will be covering it live there at Cheesehead TV. Thanks for your time.
Well, thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, no problem. Brian Caravu again, CheeseheadTV.com. Make sure you check out their draft coverage, CheeseheadTV.com. You can follow them on Twitter at CheeseheadTV or at Brian Caravu. They'll be covering that draft process all night. As always, one of the if you're looking for good analysis of a specific team, I really have trouble outside of, you know, the conventional media, and in some cases better than your so-called conventional traditional media, finding it a lot harder to find a great independent service like a Cheesehead TV. A lot of good stuff there, so make sure you check that out, CheeseheadTV.com. Bob Bredovich up after the break on the Water Cooler Sports Radio 1400.